Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
Praise God. Got your Bible with you? Go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. The title of the message is, Be Not Afraid, Only Believe. Say that with me. Be not afraid, only believe. You ought to keep that one in your vocabulary because you need to speak that into an atmosphere, maybe to somebody you know or to yourself from time to time. Be not afraid, only believe. That's Jesus said that. And to say that, you got to have faith. I mean confidence in God, that He'll do what He said He will do. You just don't know how He's going to do it or when He's going to do it, but you just know that He'll do what He said He will do. Amen. Faith is vital to us. In fact, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. You cannot please God unless there's some faith involved in it. Your offering this morning, if there's no faith involved in it, didn't please God.
Right.
Your prayer, if it doesn't have any faith that God's hearing, He's listening to you, He cares. If it doesn't have any faith, you wasted your time. Everything we do with God must have faith in it. It's vital. It ought to be your number one subject. It ought to be, I'm commanded to walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7. This is how I live my life here on this earth. And so I must know everything I can know about faith and apply it in my life every single day of my life. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 12, 2, if you're there in your Bible, it says the part I want to focus on specifically, it talks about fixing our eyes on Jesus. New American Standard, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. If you've been coming out on Wednesday nights, and I encourage you to come out on Wednesday nights, we're studying the subject of faith. We're going in more detail than we are here this morning. But we know faith comes from God. We don't work it up. It's not positive thinking, although faith is very positive. Faith comes from God. God gives it to us as a gift, and every believer has a measure of faith. Not every person has faith. Every believer has a measure of faith. And you have the faith that you need, but this faith you have has to be developed. Are you with me? It's got to be developed. And primarily, your faith will be developed on the job training as you go through stuff. And God knows what you need to get you to where you need to be. And He's only got a certain amount of time here on earth to develop your faith, as far as your faith journey here on earth. So Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. In other words, we must fix our eyes on Him. How can you fix your eyes on Jesus? You can't see Him. Well, you fix your eyes on His Word because Jesus is the Word. And you fix your eyes on His life, the way He lived. You study His life because His life was all about faith. And fixing your eyes means not to be distracted by this or by that. I mean, you can see peripheral vision. You see other things going on in your life, and some things need your attention. But your primary focus is Jesus. And if you don't fix your eyes upon Him, you're going to be distracted and you're going to be running off here spending time doing this or caught up over here in fear and doubt and worry or whatever it is. And you won't make the overcoming life like you're supposed to have in this life because you don't fix your eyes on Jesus. Now notice it says Jesus is the author. And the word author means He's the cause. He is the cause, and He is writing a story about you, but it's not even predominantly about you. It's about your faith in Him, because your faith in Him glorifies Him. Amen. Faith glorifies God. That's why it pleases Him. When you operate in faith, when you step out in faith, when you believe God's word, and when you do that, it pleases God because He's writing your story. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. God must like books. Because there's a lot of the Bible itself is 66 books compiled. God must like books because He writes about it. And He says that there's a book of life. One day God's going to open the book of life. You're born from above. Your name's in the book of life. Hallelujah. Your name's already there. He wrote it in the day that you put faith in Christ, the faith that God gave you, and then you exercise that faith by speaking. You called upon the name of the Lord. You were saved, and He wrote your name down in the book of life. There you go. It's right there in the book. There's a record. There's books. The books, we're going to be talks about books being opened in heaven. There are other books. At the judgment, there's going to be books. The book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, says there's a book of remembrance. I mean, God's got records. And He likes books. And Jesus is the author of your faith. He is writing your story as we speak. And as faith is rising up in you from God right now, as I preach this message today, faith is going to rise up in you today, and then you're going to have opportunity to express that faith in some way. You respond in that faith, and God's pleased with that, and He writes that in. So, oh, that was a good one. He likes that when you respond in faith. Now, everybody's story is different. Everybody's got a unique story. Last week we heard about how Peter came to faith in Luke chapter 5. Why did God write that down? He just showed us this is a sample of what I have in my book. It's about Peter's life, but I wanted you to see it to inspire your faith, to encourage you. And we saw that last week in Luke chapter 5. Jesus wrote that story. He used Luke and his personality to write it. He inspired him to write it, and he recorded it for us to read. As well as everything in this book called the Bible, God breathed upon it. He used different people over 1,500 years. He just chose to use different people, their personality, their style. But He wrote it. It's His book. He's the author of it. He's the finisher of it. And He gave it to you as a gift to inspire your faith. It's a wonderful book. You ought to read it. And the process of faith. Now, see, there's a process that we're going through in faith. God gives you faith to believe Him. I don't have time to develop that this morning. I've already done that on Wednesday nights. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Faith is a gift from God. Grace is a gift from God. Salvation is a gift from God. But primarily it comes to you when God gives you the faith and you say yes to that. So God gives you faith to believe Him. Number two, faith cometh by hearing. The words faith cometh are a great revelation right there. Faith cometh. Faith cometh. Hallelujah. Faith cometh. He's not holding back. God is giving. He's pouring out. He's giving faith to those who have ears to hear. Faith cometh. Comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Now, here's the thing about hearing you got to pay attention to. Right now, you're hearing with your physical ears, but you also need to be hearing with your inner ears. How do you hear with your inner ears? Sometimes God just gives you a thought. Now, you didn't hear it with these ears, but you heard it on the inside. It's a thought, came from God. Or sometimes it's just an inner knowing. I don't know how I know, I just know. I mean, there are sometimes I don't know how He does this, but it's not for me to figure out all the mechanics of that. But sometimes God lets me know what's going to happen before it happens. And I'm like a fool if I stood up and told you. And many times after the fact, He shows me, well, see, I showed you that. And I said, oh, that came from you, God. Yes, it did. I was giving you an inner knowing before it took place. So God's got a variety of ways to make you hear. You might hear Him in a dream. You might hear Him in a thought. And I'm going to prove that to you today in just a little bit. So sometimes people say, my mom's good about this. She says, something just tells me. And I say, Mom, that something's the Holy Spirit. He's got a name. Something just tells me it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Well, that God is unlimited in ways to get you to hear Him. Number three, your faith is going to be tested. Well, God, why? I have faith in you. Why do I have to be tested? Well, James 1:22 tells you why. Your faith's going to be tested so you don't deceive yourself. You're not going to deceive God. But you can deceive yourself. And your faith is tested, according to James 1:22, so you won't deceive yourself into thinking that you have faith when you don't have faith. Or that you do have faith. Yeah, I was right. That was God. Bam. Faith. So your faith is tested not to hurt you, but to help you, praise God. Now, when the testing of your faith comes, let me just give you a little sidebar on this, okay? Three little things you're going to write down. The testing of our faith usually involves a birth, a death, and a resurrection. The birth of a vision or a birth of hope. God inspires you. Maybe he gives you a personal word. Maybe he gives you a scripture. Maybe somehow he births hope in you for something to happen. Maybe it's a healing. Maybe it's a financial breakthrough. Maybe it's a child that is rebellious but returns to the Lord. And God, somehow, however God does that for you, he gives you the birth of a vision, and it's just birthed inside you. And at that moment, woo, you're excited. You have heard from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your faith is high. Whoa. Abraham, you're going to be the father of a multitude. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And he goes around telling everybody, my name is Abraham, the father of a multitude. Well, how many children do you have, Abraham? Well, right now I don't have any, but I'm going to have many. Well, you're crazy. You can think what you want, but God talked to me. And it's when someone is at that stage of the birth of a vision, you can't talk them out of faith. Oh, no, they've heard from God. They don't care whether you believe or anybody believes. They're strong in faith. Hallelujah. I've heard from God. Birth of a vision. And then the testing of the faith comes. Maybe it's a period of time comes and nothing seems to happen. It's a long wait. And the testing of your come brings about the death of the vision, the death of hope. God's not killing your hope. He's bringing you through the test. There's a death, there's a birth, there's a death, and there's a resurrection. So you come to the place in your life where it looks like there's no hope. The doctor tells you, look, we can't do anything else. There's nothing we can do. You lost all your money, your IRA's gone, you don't know how you're going to make it. I mean, it can be a very discouraging time, and if you let go of faith at that moment, you're sunk. Faith is your lifeline to God. It's your connection to God. Don't disconnect. Hello. That's right. And then you go through that death of a vision process where things go from bad to worse in the natural. You be careful your friends you got around you that time. You don't want any of Job's counselors. Just curse God and die. Even Job's wife. Why don't you just curse God and die? He ain't going to help you. Can't you see? Just give it up. Be careful where you go to church, too. And then you have the supernatural part of the testing of your faith. There's the birth of a vision, the death of a vision, then the supernatural fulfillment of it. Abraham waited 25 years. Of course, in that process, he had an Ishmael because his faith he felt, well, I need to help God out. And he got talked into having a child, Ishmael. And then eventually the supernatural fulfillment of it where Isaac is born. There's a great example of just one there. There's many, 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 many examples there. Birth of something hoped for, the death of something hoped for. And then finally, in God's timing, in God's way, because he's also the author and the finisher of your faith, he says, now. And he brings about the supernatural fulfillment of something that's hoped for. Hallelujah. Now, back to after faith is tested so you won't deceive yourself. Number four, faith receives what is hoped for. I mean, faith has an end. We don't just say we have faith. We have faith for something, whether it's faith for healing, faith for your financial breakthrough, faith for your child to return to the Lord, faith for something. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. So you have hope for something, you see. So faith receives what is hoped for, and that's the end of your faith for that particular thing. And then you have faith for something else. So your whole life is a faith journey. Are you with me? And the Bible says through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. So if you're going around saying, well, I'm not a very patient person. I don't even pray for patience. It don't matter whether you pray for it or not. You're going to have patience, and God knows it, and He'll grow patience in you through the waiting process. Just like you mature. Why did we read about Jesus' birth, and then we read about Him as a little boy. He goes to the temple and He confounds the wise scholars of the day. And then we don't read anything more about Him until He's 30 years old and His ministry begins. Well, He was growing in wisdom and stature with God and man. He was growing in patience. He was growing just like you. God is just not in a hurry like we are. So you might as well be patient with God. You ain't going to hurt Him. You can come to the altar and cry a bucket of tears. That's not going to move God. He's not going to say, well, okay, I'll give in and go ahead and do it your way. I've never heard God doing that yet. So you might as well be patient with God. Amen. Now, let me give you some examples of what we're talking about. Go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. We're going to look at some examples here. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. Now, when Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around Him. He was pretty popular by this time. And so He stayed by the seashore. And one of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up, and upon seeing Him, fell at His feet. And he entreated Jesus earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her that she may get well and live. And He went off with him, and a great multitude was following Him and pressing in on Him. Now listen to Jairus' words. I told you before, faith always speaks. If you listen to yourself, you can hear the level of your faith. You can see where your faith is. Listen to your words. What does Jairus say? He's the ruler of the synagogue. He believed about Jesus. He'd heard about Him, and he's in a desperate situation. His daughter's at the point of death. But what was his faith in Jesus? Where was his faith level? He said it with his own mouth. His faith level was, I believe if Jesus, if you come physically and lay physical hands on my daughter, she will live. Are you with me? That was his faith. Now, that's not great faith, but it is faith. It is faith. And God will meet you at your faith level, but you got to come to Him in faith. So your faith level may be down here, and God will meet you, as long as it's faith, He'll meet you there. But that is not great faith. Great faith was when Jesus met the centurion one time. Remember him? He's a Gentile. He's not even in the covenant. And he had a servant that was sick. And he comes to Jesus and he's asking Jesus to heal his servant. And Jesus says, well, I'll go with you. And he says, oh, no, sir, you don't have to go with me. I know how this faith thing works. I'm a man under authority myself. All you have to do is speak the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus marveled and said, whoa, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. The people who should have faith, the people of the church, the people of the covenant, I ain't seen any faith like that. And here you are, Gentile, and you got greater faith than them. Now, that's great faith when he said, you just speak the word and I know it's done. That's great faith. That's where you're supposed to be. Me too. Well, if I heard Jesus just say, in his physical presence, I'd have that kind of, no. He is present with you. So you have to have faith to believe that he is. And he's already given you his word about everything you need in this life. And all you have to say was, Lord, I don't need you to physically show up. I don't need an angel. I don't need to feel anything. I don't even need to see anything. Lord, you've spoken your word, and that is enough. But not many people at that faith level. They need to be. We all need to be. And so here he is. He's at this faith level of Jesus. Now, Jairus is at the faith level. Now, how did he come to this kind of faith? I don't know. Possibly, maybe he saw Jesus heal people before. Maybe he saw Jesus lay hands on people and they were healed. Whatever it was, however he got there, we don't know that part of the story, but we do know that his faith level, because he spoke it out of his own words, just like you speak your faith out of your own mouth, he said, I know this, if you come lay your hands on my child, she'll live. That was his faith level. So Jesus starts to go off with him. And lo and behold, wouldn't you know it? As soon as faith is born, after that it gets tested, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And what happens? Jesus starts to go with him. The crowd's following. They're on their way to this synagogue official's house. Jesus is going to heal him. This man is excited. And all of a sudden, with the crowd pressing around him, Jesus stops. And he says, who touched me? And his disciples look at him and say, well, Lord, what do you mean? Who touched it? I mean, there's a multitude of people around. Everybody's just crowding in around him. He says, what do you mean? Who touched you? He didn't even answer that. If I don't know if you read that or not. But there's a divine delay. He stops. Now, I don't know about you, but Jairus is wanting to get Jesus to hurry up.
Yeah, that's true.
My daughter's sick. She's in torment. She needs healing. She needs help. And the sooner you get there, the faster she's going to be well. Are you with me? And so this is his faith. And then there's a divine delay. And sometimes God purposely allows a divine delay in getting what we hope for. And often those divine delays are sent by God to grow your faith to the next level. But we don't see it that way. We think, oh, that's the devil. The devil doesn't cause most of your problems. Your unbelief causes you most of your problems. You're doubting God. Is the devil stronger than God? Can the devil stop Jesus? Can the devil delay Jesus? Then that wasn't the devil. It was a divine delay. So what is hoped for, Jesus realized this man's hoping for his daughter to be healed, but his faith level is not where it ought to be. His faith level is, well, if you physically touch her, if you physically show up, then you pray, then she'll be healed. And Jesus knows that's where his faith level is, but he wants his faith level to come up to here. So he allows a divine delay that we would think is the devil. Are you with me? And so what's going on here? On their way, Jesus stops and he says, now who touched me? Now when Jesus was touched by people all the time, but this particular touch was a touch of faith. Are you with me? Jesus knows when you touch him by faith. He knows what's faith and what is not faith. You can touch God this morning with your faith. And God stops and takes notice because he knows what faith is. Who touched me? I wonder who's going to touch him today. There's a crowd of people, but I wonder who's going to touch him. One lady touched him and he stopped and said, who touched me? See, Jesus responds to faith. And there was a woman there who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. And I don't know if you know about the Jewish culture, but when a woman was, if you were bleeding or had hemorrhaging or anything, open wound or whatever it would be, the bleeding or whatever, you were declared ceremonially unclean. You couldn't go to temple. You couldn't even dwell with your husband if you had a husband. Because anything you touch would be unclean ceremonially. So she feels like an outcast. She has gone from doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor. Every time she'd heard about somebody had a similar thing like she had that got well, she chased it down. And she said, well, if it worked for them, maybe it'll work for me. Maybe this is God's way for me to be healed. And she'd run over here and try this cure. And then she'd read something in the National Enquirer would say that this right here stops bleeding, you know. If you put on ruby slippers and you click your heels three times and say, I'm not in Kansas anymore, if you say that, then you're going to be healed. And so she tried everything. Listen, when you're desperate, you try almost anything. 12 years, long time. She's worn out. She went to doctor to doctor to doctor, and she spent everything she had. And she was none better. Is anybody like that here today? Well, I got good news for you. You don't have to continue. If you just let your faith, wherever it is this morning, rise up and touch Jesus, He'll touch you. Oh, hallelujah. He's a merciful God. He's a merciful God. And look at her faith in verse 28. It says, here's her faith now. Read those first three words. Would you read that? She didn't speak. She thought. Where does thought come from? Well, we don't know how she got it. Was it a dream or whatever? But faith comes from God. And we know this is from God because we know the outcome. I'm trying to get you to understand something. Faith cometh by hearing. And when you hear God, it's not always with these ears. She thought, if I just touch His garments, I will get well. That's a thought. You've had thoughts like that come to you from God. That you were just supposed to, if just do this or do that. And a thought came to you. And you weren't sure maybe at the moment until later you found out that was God. He got you at the right place, the right time. Yesterday, I was in the right place at the right time. I showed up at a person's house at the right time. And God put the thought in my head, go over there. And I was there at the right time. And I didn't hear a voice. I didn't read a scripture. Angel didn't tell me anything. Other than my wife did tell me, says, you need to go over there. God can speak to you through your wife. And I didn't even do it when she said to do it. I did it at a later time, and it worked out just right. I was right where I was supposed to be. Well, how did God do that? I don't know, but it's all faith. You see, you need to obey the thought that comes from God. If it lines up with Scripture, she thought, if I just touch His garments. She never told anybody. Because first of all, he's like a teacher, a rabbi, and it would make a rabbi unclean if she reached through and touched him, especially with the issue of blood. It'd make him ceremonially unclean. So she had to overcome a lot of what are people going to think? Are you with me? Yeah. What are people going to think about me? You got to get over that to walk with God. You got to get over that to walk with God. What are people going to think? What if I do this and get found out? What if I do this and people know that I've been bleeding? And of course, certainly people did know her story. So where did this thought come from? It didn't come from reading the Bible. It didn't come from a prophet. God can give you a thought to do something, and He's probably given some of you thoughts to do something, and you're waiting to see whether or not God is wanting you to do something else, and He wants you to act on the thought. Because faith is the only thing that pleases God. Now, it goes on to say in verse 29, and I love this part, verse 29, it says, and immediately the flow of her blood was dried up. and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. I like that. Well, this is where her faith level was. I mean, this woman's worn out for 12 years. She's tried everything under the sun. She ain't any better. And she's at this faith level. If I just touch him, I don't know how I know. I just know I'll get well. And she reached through the crowd and she dared to do what was risky and she touched him. And immediately, everybody say immediately.
Immediately.
That's, I like to see immediatelys. I'd like to see more of them. I confess I don't see a lot of immediatelys in healing. I'd like to see more immediatelys. And not only that, here's the bonus. She felt it in her body. Whoa! I felt that. I like it when people feel healing. But that's not the highest level of faith. But that's where she was. And God honored her faith because she stepped out in faith first. And she reached out and touched God. And God in His mercy and His grace met her at the point of her faith, even though it was way down here at the physical level where she needed to feel something. You may need to feel something. And God knows what you need. And she got an immediate healing. And she knew it in her body. As she was healed, it says, of her affliction. Woo! Felt it in her body. From the top of my head to the soles to the tip of my toes. Woo! Glory! I only think I know maybe two times, maybe three times, where I knew physically I had a healing instantly. I felt it in my body. I like that. But I've only had that a couple times. Apparently it's not necessary to feel it. But if you're at that faith level, God knows what you need and He'll get you what you need to get you where you need to go. But notice what it says. It says, daughter, your faith has made your body well. Now go in peace, arene, without strife, without fear, without worry, and be healed of your affliction. Now there's two things going on. Are you listening? Her body was already healed and she felt it. The blood stopped flowing instantly. She knew in her body was healed. Glory! Hallelujah! But now Jesus ministers deeper into her soul and her mind. And He says, now, go in peace. Arene is the word. Go in the absence of strife, worry, conflict. God's peace, there's no worry. God's peace, there's no fear. God's peace, there's rest. Whew! Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He says, go in peace and be healed of what? Of your affliction. That's very important. Her body was healed. Now He's saying, be healed of your affliction. King James calls it a plague. Be healed of your plague. But in the concordance, Strong's Concordance, it says the word for affliction is a whip, a scourging. It's a metaphor for suffering that has tormented you. Suffering that has tormented you. And He says, well, your faith has made you well. Now go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Are you getting it? He's going deeper. You see, I think personally what happened to her, and I think we have the details here to back this up, because she had been sick for 12 years. And she went to all the doctors that she knew to go to. She tried every cure she could possibly try. And she was none better, but in fact, she got worse. I think that there probably were some times when she went to one doctor. And he did whatever he did. And she started to, for a little while, she felt better. And maybe the bleeding stopped. And she went on her way. Oh, I'm healed. And about a week, two later, symptoms came back and started all over again. And I don't think this happened one time. I think it probably happened many times. And I think she had her hopes dashed against the rocks. She'd try a special cure. She'd drink this special tea. And you know what? The bleeding would stop. Hallelujah. Oh, God, let this be the time. Let this be the cure. Let this be the one. And then a few days later, it'd return on her. You get cancer in your body. God leads you through a process, maybe through doctors, through medicine or whatever, and you go through the process and God heals you and they say, you are cancer free. Hallelujah. You do a little jig and you do just testify and all that stuff. But in the back of your mind, way back there, the thought says, you know it can come back. You know, a lot of people have this same thing come back on them. You know. Are y'all listening to me? That's from the devil. Well, I know people that got well and they got pronounced healed and then later it came back on them. Well, it's all over the world you see that kind of stuff. But see, when Jesus heals you, He also says, now peace, my peace, not as the world gives, not as the doctor gives, not as a medical report gives, I give you the peace of God and be healed also in your affliction, in your mind, that this thing's going to come back on you. Now you're going to have to resist it in faith and say, no, devil, no. No, I submit myself to God and I resist you. Jesus healed me and I'm healed and I'm staying healed. Be healed of your affliction. And she was tormented in her mind thinking, I know I've been here before. I remember feeling in my body before. I took this cure, I did this, and I was well for a while, but it came back. It came back. And God wants you to be healed of that affliction. He wants your mind to be free of that. You don't even give that a thought. Be healed of your affliction. Your faith has made you well in your body. Now have peace and be healed of the fear that it may return. So she needed this healing in her emotions. So if you live in fear that something might come back on you, you're not healed of the affliction. You may be healed in your body, but you're not healed of the affliction. And Jesus does a complete work when He heals. Spirit, soul, and body, you may be whole and you can be healed of the affliction. And see, the devil still has access to afflict your mind, and what you fear can come upon you. Job said that. So don't fear, because you can't be in fear and faith at the same time. It's very subtle. Now, during this time, all this is going on. There's Jairus, and he's been placed on hold by Jesus. Now, his daughter's dying. This is a terribly, terribly hard time for him. He's been placed on hold while this is all going. They were on their way, and this lady reached in, touched Jesus, and he stopped, and he starts ministering to her. God, don't you know we're in a hurry? God, don't you know that I've got to get my daughter well? Do you ever make a phone call to somebody and you've been placed on hold for a long time? No. And you might get to the point and say, you know what? They just forgot about me. Click and hang up. God may put you on hold. Don't hang up. Don't you hang up. Well, it's been 25 years. Don't hang up. Mark 4:35. While he was still speaking to this lady, there came from the house of the synagogue official, the people said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore?" While he was speaking to the lady, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." While he's saying that, some people come up to Jairus and say, "Hey, we have bad news for you. Your daughter's passed away. Don't trouble the teacher anymore. Let it go." Now, listen to me for a moment. Pay close attention. I can understand them coming and telling what happened to his daughter, but I can't understand why they would say the second part. Well, I can understand it. It's because they're not faith people. Your daughter's dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. In other words, there ain't nothing he can do about it. Are you with me?
Yeah.
While he's speaking, this bad report comes. Why trouble the teacher anymore? Because they didn't believe that Jesus could do anything about it. They felt like death was stronger than Jesus. They said, "It's over. It's too late. There's nothing anybody can do anymore, not even God." Well, where did that thought come from? D-E-V-I-L. Not even God can do anything now. Don't even bother him. It's over with. You just let it go. We're sorry to tell you this. There's nothing no one can do. So not even God. Now, behind the scenes, there's a great battle going on. There always is when faith is about to be operated. Always. There's a great battle. And behind the scenes in this battle, in the spirit realm, Jairus, he began in faith. Remember where his faith level was? "Lord, if you'll come lay your hands on her and physically be there, I know she'll live." That's where he was. Now he's at the testing point of his faith. He's in the middle. And there's a big war going on. His faith is being tested to see, will he continue to walk in faith or will he let fear wipe out his faith? And fear and doubt viciously attack faith. And fear and doubt viciously attack people of faith. Yeah. Torment tries to come upon you. Hopelessness tries to come upon you. Depression, despair. It's a vicious attack against anybody who walks in faith. But if you got any sense at all, you put your armor on in the morning. And part of your armor is the shield of that quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, either that's true or it isn't. Is that just something we preach on Sunday morning to try to get people to have faith, or is it truth? It's the truth. And so you have to use a shield of faith just like anybody else has to use a shield of faith. And this is written in the Bible for you to read, to be inspired, to be encouraged. So fear and doubt are attacking Jairus. And these fiery darts are coming at him like never before. This is the fight of his life. His daughter, the love of his life, he's told she's dead and there's nothing you can do about it. You hear the devil in that. You hear the devil when you hear those thoughts come to you. Let it go. There's nothing you can do about it. Well, you need to go to God about that. God's got the final word, and you've already stood and proclaimed and confessed with your mouth that the word of God is the final authority in your life. So you go to God, and well, God, what do you say about that? See, we've said before, it ain't over till God says it's over, and you need to go to God. And if God says, now let that go, I've got a better plan to love them go, let them go, that's okay, then you let them go. And that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But you hear from God. And so remember where his faith level was. If you'll come, Lord, and lay your hands, she'll be healed. So at this moment, see this battle going on. At this moment, the scripture says, Jesus turned and he looked at Jairus. I think he looked him right in the eye. And he said to him, he knew what he was going through. And he knew that his faith was shaking at that moment. And he's saying to him, he says, fear not, only believe. That's all. He didn't explain anything to him. He didn't say, oh, Jairus, don't worry about that. That's not true. He didn't tell him any details. He just said, fear not, only believe. He's trying to get his faith to go to a higher level. Are you with me? Just like he's doing in your life. Let's go to the next level. Let's go to the next level. He doesn't tell you all these things. He doesn't explain everything to you because it wouldn't take any faith on your part. So he's telling him at this moment, don't be afraid, only believe. And in the original language, in the Greek language, it's actually stronger than these words. Jesus is actually saying to him, now keep on believing. You began, now keep on. Don't stop here. Keep on believing. Stay in faith. Don't stop believing, but keep believing. Right now is the time not to quit. It's the time to keep on. No explanation, no details, just an opportunity. And if Jairus were here today giving testimony about this and telling you the story of what happened to him, he would tell you that I was about to just break down and die. My daughter. But when I looked at Jesus, there's just, and he said those words, it was just something inside me said, that's true. I don't know how I know, but I just know. And I just believed that somehow, some way, it was going to be okay. And I took Jesus at his words. I didn't understand it. Common sense said, it's over with. Common sense said, let it go. But something inside of me said, it ain't over till God says it's over. And I haven't heard God say it's over. Period. And that's for anything you go through. Whether it be health, whether it be you going through a divorce situation, whether it be a fine, it ain't over. God may let it go from bad to worse before it gets better. But all you need is one word from God. That's all you need. And this is all he said. He didn't give any explanation. Just fear not, Jairus. Only believe. Only believe. Now, the short conclusion of the story is they went on to the house of the synagogue official. Jesus goes in and he touches a little girl's hand. Why? Because Jairus, that's where his faith was. If you lay your hands on her, she'll live. So Jesus specifically says in the scripture that he grabbed her by the hand and he raised her to life. Hallelujah. She was dead and he raised her to life. Exactly like Jairus had faith to believe. He didn't know all the details of how it was going to happen. But he had the faith to believe that if Jesus would lay his hands on her, she'd live. And the woman was healed the same way because she thought in her mind, if I touch him, I'll be healed. And she was healed exactly like her faith said. See, God meets you where your faith is. So why is this in the Bible? Well, to help us see that God gives faith to all of us who are born again, but at different levels. Jesus is the author and the one who's writing your story. He writes the beginning and the end. He's the finisher of your faith as well. He wants to write a good ending to this thing that you have faith for. But you got to be in faith now so he can continue, because you're on hold until you step in faith. Get back in faith. Stay in faith. Keep believing. Keep moving forward in faith. You walk by faith and not by sight. You have to trust God. That's what your life is about here while you're here on this earth. So Jesus wants to write a good ending so that what you are hoping for, you'll receive by faith when he says, now's the time. So why is it so difficult for us to trust God? Two reasons. Probably many more reasons. But here's the two main reasons. The first one is self, S-E-L-F, you and me. Last week, at the end of the message last week, I told you the biggest problem I have is not with Satan, it's with me. You didn't have to say amen right there. The biggest problem you have is you. That's it. That's the truth. It self gets in the way. And Satan just uses what we give him, you see. And so Satan has corrupted the mind of man back in the Garden of Eden to distrust God. And he's always telling you, you know, you can't really believe all that. So Satan has always, since the Garden of Eden, tried to get man to distrust God. Did God really say? And self does not really trust God fully. Because we're not sure he's going to come through for us this time. Well, he did for so-and-so, but I don't know he'll do that for me. So self gets in the way. You need to do a little self-talk to yourself. Do you talk to yourself? If you're spiritual, you do. You need to tell yourself to shut up at times. Say, shut up. You tell your body, now shut up. I'm serious. You need to talk to yourself. You talk to mountains. You need to talk to yourself. Self's talking to you. And when you know self is talking to you and self is not in faith and believing God, you tell self, shut up. I didn't ask your opinion. If I need to talk to you, I'll come talk to you, but I don't need anything from you. You get in my way. Take a hike. Where can I go? I'm with you. I'm self. What? Well, then shut up. Just be along for the ride and watch what God's going to do. And so, because we self has a hard time trusting God, we don't trust God. We don't think he's faithful. We don't know his word's really true all the time. We have to come to this place where, Jesus, you're the author and finisher of my faith. So, and like I said probably many weeks ago, you've got to give God the pen. Okay. Lord, I took the pen out of your hands. You're the author and finisher of my faith. You started writing my story, you know, when we began back there in 1976. And many times I've taken the pen out of your hands and said, you know, no, I don't like where that story's going. And let me write a better ending here, God. And let me write out how it goes. And every time I do that, I mess up. I get on hold, pause, because I'm not in faith. See, it takes faith to put the pen back in God's hand and say, okay, God, now you write the rest of the story. You write the ending, how you want to write it. So here, God, take the pen. And I have to do that more than once. I have to be honest with you. I wish it was a one-time thing. It should be a one-time thing. But I have to do it more than once, many, many times. And I have to give the pen back to God and say, you're the author, not me. How my story ends is up to you. It's not to me. And that means I have to give up some of the, maybe the dreams and stuff that God didn't give me that I just conjured up myself. So self is one of my biggest problems. And the other one, I hate to admit it to you, is sin. Sin is my problem. And someone said, I heard this at the fall retreat last year, a good definition of sin is a self-inspired narrative. In other words, again, you take the pen out of God's hand and you say, well, I don't think I can believe you for that, and you want to write how the ending goes. And that's a good illustration, because anything that's not of faith is sin, the Bible says. You say, well, sin is missing the mark. Sure it is. Missing the mark of what? Missing the mark of believing God. Because all he wants from you is faith. All he wants from you is to believe him. Believe him. And so when we sin, and all sin is rooted in unbelief, it is we're trying to write our own story. We're trying to write our own destiny. We're trying to write out how the end's going to happen. Because we're not sure we can trust God, so let me grab that pen. No. I'm going to write the ending. So what's my responsibility? Last week, I ended the message by showing you how Peter and Paul and Timothy and James and Jude, how they ended their life of faith. in the scriptures that they wrote in your Bible, they all describe themselves as the bondservant of Jesus Christ. They wrote that in there. In other words, they came to the place in their life, they realized the best thing to do, how to walk by faith, is to surrender everything into God's hands and just become a bondservant. Let Him decide how my life's going to go. Let Him decide the length of my days. Let Him decide about, I just surrender everything to Him. And I just become His bond slave. Now, you're a son, but this is talking about just surrender. I trust Him enough that the rest of my life, I'm yours, God. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, you speak and I do it. That's a bond slave. And that's really what Jesus wants from you. Now, if Peter and Timothy, James and Jude and people of faith were all here today present, they'd testify to you. They'd say, look, listen to me, people of God, in 2014, listen to me. The sooner you learn to surrender your life, the better off you'll be. The sooner you learn to lay down your circumstances and lay down all the sooner you do, the better off life will be for you. And so when you begin this journey of faith, you realize it's going to take you through many processes. And everybody's faith journey is a little bit different. He may lead you to give up your job and to go into ministry, to give up your dream or your career and to do this or to do that. He may lead you to do that. He may lead you to give up your plans for retirement and go in another direction. He may lead you to leave your country and go into foreign soil. He may leave you to leave your comfortable home and your IRA or whatever it is. To one wealthy young man, he came up to him and he said, go sell everything you've got, give it to the poor and come follow me. And the young man couldn't do it. He didn't have the faith to do that. I'm not saying he's going to tell you necessarily to do all that. Everybody is different. It seems risky in the natural to walk by faith, but it's actually the safest place in the world to be. Lay down everything in your life and put it in His hands. Why? Because He's writing your story. He's got the pen. I don't know, but I don't know how this is going to end. You don't need to worry about that. You need to trust Him. It's going to be a good ending. Because He's great at writing last chapters. Woo! Oh my goodness, He is. And He's got adventures for you in your book. And you got to lay it all down in His hands. So last year at the sabbatical, the time we had off, I can't thank you enough for that time. It was so refreshing to us. In one of the messages at the fall retreat, I heard the pastor there, Mike Atkins, the speaker, and he was talking. And when he was talking, I knew God was talking to me. Oh my goodness. He was writing on my heart. I could feel the pen. And he was telling me a lot of things. And one of those things was, he says to me, he says, I want you to surrender the pen. Surrender the pen. I want you to quit striving about your dreams and your hopes and your fears and give me the pen. And so I took out my pen. And in my mind, I could see it myself presenting it to God. And I felt tears start to come down. Whew. On my cheeks. Because I had all this torment inside me. How are you going to do this? And how are you going to do that? And how are you going to achieve that? And I didn't know. But as I saw myself giving God the pen, it was such a sweet piece of release. It's like, that's not my concern anymore. He never asked it to be. And so I see this service ending the same way. Ushers, you go ahead and come forward. And they're going to be standing here, and God's talking to you about something in your life. It all boils down to He wants you to have faith in Him. Fear not, only believe. Now, these ushers are going to just go ahead and turn sideways, Jim, so people can just come right through. Yeah, just stand on the sides. There you go. Don't block the way. You want to just open up a little bit. There you go. There you go. Thank you. And they're going to hold these pens here. And if God is talking to you about the same thing that he's talking to me, then let's just agree. God is speaking to you. And you won't leave here the same way you came, in Jesus' name. Michelle, if you'll go ahead and come on up and begin to play a little music. In a moment, I want to lead you in prayer, and then I want you to come up here, and I want you to take one of these pens and see that as the writing of your life story, your faith story, your faith journey. If you've already begun in faith by receiving Jesus as Lord, then God's writing your faith story. If you haven't begun by receiving Jesus as Lord, then you come up here and see me, and we'll pray and help you begin the faith journey to receive Jesus as Lord of your life. And you begin the faith journey today. This will be the beginning. This will be page one for you, entry one, when you receive Jesus. But many of you already have. But this is the time you need to come up and you need to take a pen. And you need to come to this altar, and you take this pen and you lay it down. And you're saying, by laying it down, God, you're the author and the finisher of my faith. I give you the right, which is yours anyway, to finish this faith story any way you want to do it. I surrender. You do what you want, God. I trust you. As you surrender that pen and leave that pen on the altar, don't pick it up. You're leaving it in his hands. Leave it there. Just lay it down. Leave it there. Say a prayer and make sure you're in faith. I'm trusting you. I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know what's going to happen tonight or happen tomorrow. But God's going to write a great ending for you if you'll let him. But he won't do it unless you surrender the pen. So here, God, I surrender. And you may have to do this many times in your life. Faith has a beginning. It has a testing time. And it has an end. And if you're in the testing time, then hear these words. Fear not. Only believe. If you're in that testing time, hear those words. Say it yourself. Fear not, Gary. Only believe. You got to do it. You got to do it. So, Father, in Jesus' name now, just stir your people to walk by faith. Now and the rest of their life here on this earth and into eternity. Thank you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You agree? Say amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.